Good morning. How's everyone doing this fine morning? Is anybody out there? Gee, it's almost like being up here by myself. I was hoping for a little bit of help. All right. If you have your Bibles, I'd ask that you would turn with me to Mark 16. Mark 16, beginning with verse 19. Luke. As you can see, I'm very nervous. And I don't know why, but every time I get up here, I get nervous. I can't help it. I don't know if you realize it, but it's an awesome responsibility standing before God's people. Luke 16, beginning with verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and in fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. But Abraham said, remember, thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus his evil things. But now he is in comfort, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thus. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my family's house. For I have five brothers that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, thou have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto him, if thou hearest not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his words. From those passages of scriptures, I want to pose the question, what's worse than going to hell? What is worse than going to hell? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you as humbly as I know how. First, giving thanks for last night's rest and this morning's early rise. Dear Lord, at this time I ask that you surround me with the cross, dear Heavenly Father. I ask that you cover me so that they see none of me but all of you. Dear Lord, use me as you see fit. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask at this time that let your word go forth and let it not come back void. These things I ask your darling son, Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. The rich man is one of those that will receive many stripes. He probably lived in Jerusalem. the city of worship, the first place to have the gospel of grace preached from the lips of the master himself. There was no excuse for him not hearing the gospel. But being a rich man and having a great deal of businesses to attend to, he probably didn't have time to attend a prayer meeting, such as the one where Jesus fed the 5,000. Nevertheless, whether he had time or not, he's reminded that he had a chance to hear the gospel and did not accept it. Every so often, we meet someone who is too busy to go to church. Of course, they would love to go, but they are just too busy. When they stand before God Almighty, their excuses do them no good. When they stand before God Almighty, their excuses do them no good. The duty of man is to seek ye first the kingdom of God. I have yet to find a person who did not have time to die. When that time comes, you will answer. We find folks actually who would love to come to church, but they do not have the proper clothing. But I have never ran across a person who is just because he does not have the proper clothing enough to die. When death comes, it doesn't matter how you dress. You will answer that call. They have no excuse for not going to church. For the rich man, God sent a witness right to his front door. Yes, we know it was only a beggar. But the word tells us that the basic things of this world and the things of our desires to bring to naught things that are. 1 Corinthians 1 and 28. Lazarus was a beggar and a leper, but he could have witnessed to the rich man. He begged for the crumbs, but the scripture does not record that he received anything. If he had been given the chance, he would have told the rich man about the bread of life. Be careful how you treat beggars, my friend. You might miss a blessing. I am sure it would have been quite a different story if the rich man had gone to the gate and conversated with the beggar, Lazarus. God did everything in his power to keep the rich man out of hell. He would not go to hear the word, so the Lord sent the word to him right there in front of his gate in the form of a beggar. The word was sitting there. But he would not even go out to his gate to see the beggar or who was begging for crumbs to keep his body and soul together. That beggar could have told him about the salvation that would have kept his soul out of hell. One man covered with leprous sores, his only friends, the dogs who came to lick those sores. Another man, just inside the gate, clothed in purple and fine linen and everything at his fingertips that life could desire, but something happened. It came to pass that the beggar died. The rich man also died. The scripture does not say that Lazarus was buried. It does say that the rich man also died and was buried. Probably the garbage men transported the body of the beggar to the city garbage dump. While the embalmers were preparing the rich man for an elaborate funeral, no doubt he had the finest casket of the day, the finest funeral carriage, and flowers galore. Perhaps several preachers and ministers were reading the eulogy over his coffin. While doctor sounding like brass and brother tingling cymbals told the folks what a fine fellow he was, the rich man was burning in hell. Now we find that Luke chapter 16 and verses 23 through 25 tells us that, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Being in torment, he sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in torment in these flames. Now we see here the roles are reversed. See, in Lazarus' lifetime, he was standing out in front of the gate of the rich man begging for crumbs. Now we see that here the rich man is, he's in hell and in torment. Now he's not begging for a glass of water. He's asking that Lazarus just dip his finger in some water and just put a tip, just the tip of, just to touch the tip of his tongue. Tell me what God won't do. See, while he was enjoying the fine things of life, Lazarus was suffering. Now the roles have been reversed. A little while ago, the man had his millions. He had his heart's desires. He was clothed in purple and in fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day, but now he is begging, not for a glass of water, but for one drop of to cool his parched tongue. In this torment, the rich man lifted up his eyes and saw Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham, the place of rest. And he recognized the beggar who had laid at his gate. Please notice that this man had all the sense he had he had in life on earth. He could see, he could hear, he could feel, and he could talk. Just now, he is talking to Father Abraham, begging him for mercy. And what will Abraham say to this? Say to this man? What he says is, what he says is recorded in the scriptures. He simply says, son, remember. Think about that. Now here this rich man is, he's down in hell, he's begging for a drop of water, and Abraham tells him, son, remember. I want you to remember when you were back on earth and Lazarus was laying at your gate and he was begging for the crumbs off your table that you wouldn't go out to the gate to see this beggar. Excuse me. What this man had to remember, the opportunities his position must have afforded him, but he had taken no thought for eternity. I believe the memories of those in hell will be the greatest torment they will suffer. If you are hearing this message and you are not saved, if you go on in your sin and die without Christ, you will have the endless years of eternity in hell to which to remember. You will remember every time you heard the gospel and were invited to come to Jesus. You will remember every time you heard the church bells ringing on Sunday morning and you went to the beach, or you decided to go race cars, or the mountain interested you more than going the way to the house of God. You will remember every time you heard the church choir sing an invitational hymn, "Just As I Am," without one plead, "Lord, I'm coming home." You will remember every time you hear God's preacher in the pulpit pleading with you to come to Jesus. You will remember a godly mother who begged you to live for God. Those memories will haunt you throughout the senseless age of eternity. Son, remember. Just remember. Excuse me again. The devil will do everything in his power to make hell all the hell he can for every soul there. He will point his finger in the faces of these poor inmates of hell and say to them 10,000 times over and over again, "You poor fool, you did not have to come here." Don't you remember when you were in yonder world, the minister told you if you would only accept Jesus as Savior, he would save your soul and you would escape the fires of hell. You thought you were smart. You thought you were very clever when you stood back and smiled as the preacher gave the altar call. You thought you were being big, but you played the fool. The devil will remind those doomed souls that they could have escaped hell. He will remind them to remember. And they will have an eternity in which to remember and curse the day they were born. Yes, there is something worse than going to hell. You all would like for me to tell you, wouldn't you? You mean you don't know? It's worse to go to hell with the memories to haunt and torment that would be to go to hell never have hearing the gospel, never having the privilege to become a Christian. In other words, every time you had an opportunity to become a Christian and you didn't, that's worse than going to hell, because you're going to be in hell and you're going to remember that. You're going to remember, "I had an opportunity not to be here." Think about it. I had an opportunity to be in eternity with Jesus, but because of my stubbornness, because of me being me, or because I felt like I knew more than God, I decided I didn't need him. But see, the text tells us today that there is something worse than going to hell. It's that memory. That memory, thank you, John. It's that memory that you had a chance to avoid being here. How many of those people down there in hell right now wish they had taken that opportunity to accept Jesus as their Savior? How many of you who are listening to this message have heard the wages of sin is death? How many of you have heard, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God? Or whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Have you heard? They cometh unto me, I will have no wise cast them out. Have you heard? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Or if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is Lord and shall believe in thine heart that God has risen him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I know you have heard these scriptures. I know you have heard them all. And the question is, are you still lost? Are you still being stubborn? Are you still... are you still trying to prove something to somebody? I'm not pronouncing everyone to hell, but I am directing this message primarily to those who are lost. And I want to close with Hebrews 3, 7, and 11. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in provoking in the days of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, provoked me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. So what's Hebrews saying? That when you hear the preacher giving that altar call, if you are not saved, he said, don't go any further. Come and see. Come and turn your life over to Jesus. He said, don't harden your heart, because to go to hell and remember that you had an opportunity to avoid it, that's the worst thing that can happen to you. Is knowing how to avoid it and not avoiding it. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to stand before your people and break with them the bread of life. Dear Lord, I ask if there's anyone out there who has not accepted you as their Savior, I ask, dear Heavenly Father, I ask that they won't harden their hearts now. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that they come before you and say, Lord, have mercy on me. And dear Lord, as always, we ask that you continue to watch over, guide us, and bless this church. These things we ask in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen.